edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, and I'm joined from Goodyear, Arizona by Paul Hoynes, our Tribe beat writer. Paul, how are you enjoying the weather out there?
I'm good, Joe. It's a little chilly out here, man. Yesterday was foggy. The day before it was raining, and today the wind was blowing. The Indians have moved. Usually they're out in the field around 9:30, Arizona time, but they moved it back now to like 10:30. Just to it's been cold, and the fields have been slippery, and they don't want any of their pitchers or catchers getting hurt, I guess, during PFPs. So they moved it back. Hopefully, the sun will come out here, and the wind will dry the fields out.
Yeah, the wind is always a big factor out there in Arizona. Just so people know, the PFPs are pitcher fielding practice, right? They don't want to be slipping or catching a cleat in the mud, right?
Right.
Okay. Well, so you've been out there since Tuesday. You've had a chance to see the pitchers and catchers work out. A few of the position players have trickled in. The report date, I believe, was today, Saturday. The first full squad workout is Monday, and that's when Terry Francona gives his big speech to the team and sort of sets the guidelines for the season. Just in these past few days, towards the end of this week, who have you seen who's really stood out in terms of the pitchers or the position players or the guys rehabbing who were there?
Yeah, Joe, I think the guy that kind of jumps out at me is Bradley Zimmer. He's really, he's taken some good swings in the cage. It's early yet, but he's been out here, since he had the surgery on his right shoulder in July, last July, right after he recovered from surgery. He's been out here ever since. He's gone home a few times for the holidays and stuff, but he looks great. He says he's in a really a good spot. He still doesn't know, he still doesn't know exactly, when he'll be cleared for full activity. And I would think, there's still a chance he'd open on a DL, but he's closer. He's a lot closer than I think people thought. And, Francona said the other day, he's knocking it out of the park, to quote Francona during it, in his rehab and his work so far this spring. That's the guy that's jumped out at me. And another guy is Yu Chang, the guy, minor league infielder who's on a 40-man. He's in his second big league camp. He had the great Arizona Fall League. And, he's been playing some third base. And with Francisco Lindor, hurt with the calf muscle, he's going to get a look at a shortstop as well.
And you mentioned Chang. Francona mentioned in his comments that he liked Chang's versatility, that we've seen him at third base working out. He split time last year in Columbus with Eric Stamets at shortstop. And, Francona said, oh, I'll bet you he could even play second base. Is Chang a guy who could, contend for that utility role along with somebody like Max Moroff?
Yeah, I think he could. He probably – Joe, I think they probably want him to play every day. I don't know if they want a kid like that can swing the bat like him sitting on the bench. But, yeah, I think at some point this season he could come up and help them. He's got power. He hit 15, 16 home runs at Columbus last year, his first year at AAA. The year before at AA, he hit, over 20.
25 home runs, yeah.
Yeah, so – that's a guy to watch. He's a big guy too. He's not a little skinny, utility guy. He's kind of put together.
Yeah. He sort of breaks the mold of the ideal in middle infield, sort of coming over from the Asia Pacific area. You don't imagine guys like that coming over and being big 6'2" power hitting guys, particularly if they're infielders, but that's Yu Chang. And he made a real impression in the Arizona Fall League as well last year.
Yeah, he moved over from, short to third. He played third base in the Arizona Fall League. I remember him last spring playing third base for the Tribe out here, and he struggled a little bit. You could tell the position was new to him. And, But I think, you know, he played very well at third base in the AFL. You know, he made their all-prospect team at the end of the year, made their all-star team. And, you know, I think he's making some strides. So this is a guy to watch. You know, I think he has a chance to help the Indians, if not this season, you know, pretty soon, right down to, you know, next year at least.
Yeah, and as Terry Francona mentioned in his comments the other day, he said, yeah, I think we got a pretty good third baseman over there as well.
Yeah, already. And if you look ahead, and if Kipnis is last year, you know, Jose goes to second and third base is open, and maybe Chang's a guy.
Well, that's great. Now, you mentioned the injury to Francisco Lindor, and boy, a lot of fans saw the comments from Terry Francona and thought, well, maybe there's hope. There's a lot of this and that. But again, we're dealing with a calf injury. We've seen this with Lonnie Chisenhall the last couple of years. These things, the minute you think you're 100%, you should probably wait another couple of weeks before going out there and trying to go full out. What have you seen or what have you heard just being around Lindor as he arrived in camp?
Well, you know, every time I try to corner Lindor, he's dancing away to the trainer's room, you know. But he's not hard to locate, Joe. He's got, you know, electric blue hair, and he's not limping, you know. So I guess that's a good sign that, you know, he's not his foot isn't in a walking boot. He's not on crutches, and I think you know, the Indians are optimistic that, you know, he might be back for the season opener on March 28th. I mean, there's a chance, I think, but I think they're, you know, if there's any question, they'll err on the side of caution, as they usually do. And, he would either stay out here or open the year on the DL. But he's closer than they think. I think that 7 to 9 weeks of him being on the shelf, you know, that he could beat that back if everything goes according to plan and he doesn't have a setback. Now, he's going to talk to the media on Monday morning, so we'll have more on that, but they've kind of been protecting him, I guess, from the media. And, you know, Frankie has never had a problem talking, so I don't know if that's hurting him more than it's hurting us. So, but I think we'll find out a little more then. But, you know, everything is optimistic right now with him.
And Francona was asked about, you know, shuffling the lineup or, you know, moving Kipnis up or doing something to a – and obviously they haven't even had a workout yet, so this is way ahead of anything. But Francona's reaction to that was kind of interesting to me. He said, you know, you don't want to have guys move around too much before you get Lindor back and then have everything be all screwed up. He sounded like he pretty much wanted to keep things as is and just plug somebody new at the top of that lineup, whether it be possibly like a Greg Allen or, you know, somebody else, instead of, you know, shifting the lineup around and then having them start the regular season with Kipnis back in the two hole or somewhere else. What was your take on Francona's reaction to the lineup question?
Yeah, I knew when I asked him that was the answer I was going to get. I've heard him say that too many times this early in camp that he hasn't even thought about it. But yeah, I think he can say all he wants, but if he's not thinking about it, there's 15 guys in the front office that are thinking about it, how they're going to set this thing up if Lindor isn't ready, or, you know, they've got to play through spring training games as well, more than 30 spring training games. So, I think, like you said, Joe, Greg Allen is a guy. You know, I think Kipnis is a guy. I think Leonis Martin maybe could lead off. I think we're going to get a look at a lot of guys, at in that spot. And, you know, the reason I brought up Kipnis is, you know, Francona, you know, time and time again has liked him in the number two spot, has said how much he likes him in the number two spot. Now, that's when Kipnis was going good. He, mm-hmm. you know, he struggled so much last year that they had to drop him in the order. But, I was thinking, you know, since they've lost so much from the middle of the lineup, you know, if they drop Lindor down, you know, to three or four, or maybe, you know, into the fourth or fifth spot, you know, it would be nice to have an experienced guy at the top of the lineup like Kipnis.
Yeah, I can't see them dropping Lindor any lower than third in the lineup if they do shift things down, just because, you know, you want a guy in that top third of the batting order, getting the most at bats that he possibly
can. That's a good point. Yeah.
If you want to move Jose Ramirez down, that's cool. But you know, it's got to bring something to the lineup if you're going to do that. If you're talking, you know, experience as a leadoff guy on the 40-man roster, the guys that have the most experience as a leadoff are Jason Kipnis and Carlos Santana. Carlos Santana spent the better part of two seasons as a leadoff guy, and he fits the profile. He's a high on base guy. He draws a lot of walks, and you're not really going to lose anything if you put him up there. But again, you still need somebody down lower in the order to drive in some runs.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, they've lost so many guys, you know, kind of run producers. I don't know if you want to put, you know, a guy that, you know, is going to drive in 70 to 80, 80, 85, 86 runs a year. You know, do you want to put him in the leadoff spot? And I don't know if he's going to go first to third too much. I know he can run okay, but, you know, I know they like, you know, Francona likes those guys who can go first to third, second to home, you know, at the top of the lineup or the bottom of the lineup.
Well, so you mentioned you talked to Santana today. He sounds like he's happy to be back here. I know at Tribe Fest, man, he was out there on the stage thumping his chest, telling everybody, "Oh, I'm home. This is my home. This is where I am." And you know, it sounds like a great reunion story. But what's Carlos's take on being back in Goodyear?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't count how many times he said happy in the interview, but it had to be over 100. And, you know, Joe, he said something interesting. He said he'd love to end his career in Cleveland.
Wow.
You know, he's 32, and, you know, he still has his home in Cleveland. He said his wife is really excited to be back with – and even though, you know, he said even though the team has changed a little bit, you know, he still thinks – you know, there's still Lindor, Ramirez, Kluber, Bauer. You know, he said something to me that was interesting. He said, you know, he really feels like he's matured as a player, that he can help, you know, guys like Ramirez or Lindor or any young players now. You know, if they need that, if they need some help, you know, he can talk to them. I think, you know, maybe he's gonna, you know, they've lost so many leaders, clubhouse leaders, over this winter. Maybe he could kind of step into that role. And, you know, he's always been kind of a quiet guy. When he first came here, he was standoffish and I think kind of, you know, locked into himself, you know, like a lot of players are. But I, you know, the guy that brought him out of his shell, I think, is Francona. And, you know, he loves Tito. I mean, he was in his office. He stopped in Tito's office a couple of days ago and talked to him for about 30 minutes. So, you know, they have a good relationship. And I think, you know, Tito's really kind of opened his eyes to what, you know, a big league player does, not just on the field, but off it.
And Francona spoke about having talked to Santana about the possibility of playing in the outfield. And that whole mix with Jake Bowers being a guy who the Indians are looking at as an above average first baseman defensively, you know, Santana, his final season in Cleveland before leaving, he was a finalist for the American League Gold Glove at first. He went over to Philly and played a little bit at third base, but you're not gonna move Jose Ramirez off of third base. So, Santana doesn't necessarily like playing being in the DH role. He prefers to have the glove on and be in the field as much as possible. Is there a possibility you see Jake Bowers and Carlos Santana on the field defensively at the same time?
Yeah, I think we could, Joe. I think, you know, in certain situations, certain matchup situations, they could put, you know, Carlos has played right and left field for Francona. And I think, you know, the trepidation of starting him in what was it, game three in the World Series?
Game three of the World Series, yeah.
I think that's kind of past, you know. Yeah. I think Francona has a lot more confidence in him now. You know, I don't think you're going to see a steady diet of that. You know, I think maybe occasionally he'll start in the outfield, or Bowers too. Bowers is, you know, has experience in the outfield. So you could see those two moving around a little bit, I think, or, you know, on the field at the same time.
So your thoughts now, you've seen some of these guys as the pitchers and catchers have been in, the multitude of non-roster invitees and just bullpen arms trying to just throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks. The bullpen situation for what it is right now, you think it's better or worse than what fans or folks are thinking it's going to turn out to be?
You know, Joe, I think, you know, obviously, if on the from the outside looking in, it doesn't look great to me. You know, I mean, you've got Brad Hand, and you know, the bullpen. Brad Hand is a closer, and you can, you know, and definitely, you know, he's a proven guy. But you know, there's a lot of question marks after that. But you know, I really like what they've done. Adding some experienced guys. You know, guys, experienced relievers like Nick Whitgren. You've got Justin Grimm. With Alex Smith. I mean, Alex Wilson. Mm-hmm. Guys who have been around a little bit. AJ Cole.
AJ Cole was the other guy. Yeah.
So those guys are. Whitgren's on the 40 man, but you know. Wilson and Cole are spring training invitees. You know, so I think, you know, if you have maybe a spot or two spots that you're uncertain about, these guys have done it, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially Wilson, who's pitched pretty well. He pitched pretty well the last 4 years for Detroit. So I think that's a guy that might is in on a in camp on a minor league deal, but it's kind of a It might be a one of those wink, wink, nod, yeah, nod yeah. things that, you know, just wait. You'll be on the 25 man.
Right. And, you know, you wonder how much they have to talk up a guy to sign one of those deals and say, hey, look, there's a real good chance you're going to make it on the 40 man here if you just come in and produce the way you've produced in the past. Another guy, interesting guy, Jeffrey Ramirez. You talked about, Tito talked about, Jeffrey Rodriguez. Yeah. He's a big guy. He's just like a physical presence, and he's got a big arm, you know, throws hard. Is that maybe a product of looking at what Tampa Bay did when they came in here with their relievers, where it looked like they had a bullpen full of Jeffrey Ramirez, 6'2", 6'3", and threw 120 miles an hour? Is it maybe a look at what Tampa Bay did and said, oh, maybe we need to get us some of those guys too?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I didn't really think about that, but, you know, like Rodriguez is like 6'6", he's about 240, he throws hard, and, you know, they really don't, you know, Hand throws hard, but he's, you know, his best pitch is a slider.
Right.
You know, so they don't really have, like when Miller was here and he was healthy, he was throwing 97, but they don't have a guy like that. At least, you know, Otero and the lefties they've got, Perez and Olson and those guys really don't throw that hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, Simber, you know, is from down under,
Oliver Perez relies on a lot of deception and stuff like that too. So
Neil Ramirez, you know, throws hard. He's got a good arm, but you know, sometimes the ball leaves the park too.
Ramirez is high fastball, curveball. So that's his approach.
But they could use someone like that. You're right. I mean, I don't know if they have them stacked up like Tampa Bay does. You know, those guys just kind of roll those guys out of
it. It just seemed like they brought like one after another, and they were all 6'4" and 240 pounds and threw 120 miles an hour.
That's right.
And they came out the bullpen door like three at a time.
Yeah. So I mean, the Indians got criticized for the Gomes deal and rightfully so in some respects, but one of the ideas was to get a little younger and Rodriguez and the outfielder Daniel Johnson and the infielder they got, they're younger guys and they put some youth in and if a guy like Rodriguez has the arm he does and if he can control the strike zone, which he had a hard time doing with the Nationals last year, I think, you know, he's got a shot.
But he's a three pitch reliever, right? I mean, he's got the he's got three pitches. And how many years of control does he have on the?
I think he's got at least 5 years because he was last year was his major league debut.
Yeah, so he's at least got at least two more options too as well. So they can bring him in. You mentioned Nick Wickren. Have you seen him? What's he look like? This was a guy they just traded for from Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I've not seen him. I saw him throw his bullpen a little bit. Mm-hmm. Francona said he's got some deception about him. Another guy that's been around that's pitched well, they were surprised that he was available, that he got taken mm-hmm. off the roster when, the Marlins signed a second baseman, a free agent second baseman, Neil Walker.
And
they DFA'd Wittgren. And, he was available and they made a deal for him. So I think he's another guy that could help them.
Yeah, that was looked like it was they might have been trying to sneak him through and maybe sign him to a minor league deal or something like that. And the Indians called and asked about him. All right, we've talked bullpen, we've talked outfield, talked injuries. Francona's big talk is coming up on Monday. He's going to lay out what the expectations are and sort of the Indians' way of doing business, and then they go right into workouts and games by the end of next week.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be interesting. More than half of these guys are in camp for the first time with the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
There's been such a big turnover. We'll have to ask Tito what approach he's going to take if that changes, and he's, this is not the team that won 91 games last year and has won three straight, AL Central titles, but, he seems fired up about it, new faces, regenerate the excitement, if there was complacency setting in, it's certainly going to be a more competitive spring training than when the last couple of years, last two or three years, when almost all the spots were spoken for.
Mm-hmm. If there's 65 guys in the room, at least, 40 of them haven't heard the message before. So, it's almost like a new audience for Tito to be standing up there and delivering it.
Yeah, every manager I've covered has, put a lot of stock into this presentation, and it's important. I think it sets the tone. Francona isn't a big meeting guy. He's not a big meeting manager. So, I think he wants to make an emphasis that this stays with these guys and it carries into the regular season.
Chances that he pulls a Sean Payton and comes rolling into the meeting with a commissioner's trophy and $250,000 in cash with two armed guards, just like Sean Payton did with the Lombardi Trophy.
That'd
be awesome.
Yeah, the one thing that reminds me of a couple years ago, Trevor Bauer gave up three huge home runs to the Cubs back to back to back, and the next day. They had a little team meeting, and he brought some Arizona state troopers in, and they were carrying three baseballs, and they wanted to find out the guy who gave up the home runs because they get damaged cars,
the cars on the freeway. That's great. I'm sure
Trevor was laughing too.
I'm sure Trevor took that as that wasn't character assassination in any way, was it? Holy Toledo, we didn't even get into the
he liked that. He liked that.
But well, that's great. Well, Paul, a couple more days there in Arizona. I hope the sun breaks through for you at some point.
Well, I'm sure it's a lot. It's yeah, I shouldn't be complaining to anybody back in Cleveland.
Wednesday morning, I think the sun is due to arrive in Arizona, right?
Probably.
Well, great. We'll hear from you again next week when you return to us. And until then, we'll talk to you again on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
Thanks, Joe.